Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you, brothers and sisters. Great opportunity each time to be able just to get together as family and turn our eyes to the Lord. I think of a better way to start today than tuning in and being able to do that through God's Word. So let's do the normal thing. Let's raise our hands and stretch out a little bit. Loosen yourself up a little bit. Sometimes you get out of bed and you're stiff, so that'll kind of loosen your body. And we lift our hands to the Lord in praise. Well, let's pray. Let's jump in. Father, we just want to thank you for an opportunity again to meet with you, our Maker. And we thank you, Lord, just that you have not left us in the dark to fumble our way through life. You've given us your word to be a lamp to our feet, to give us direction and inspiration. So, Father, we just come today. We look to you through your word. Holy Spirit, we believe you wrote this word many years ago, and we pray you would breathe on it, make it alive, make it real to us. I pray, Lord, that you would just highlight to each of us that portion of the chapter that you're really trying to speak into our hearts. So, Lord, we come with an open, expectant spirit, and we thank you for speaking to us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's read. Joshua 22. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have listened to my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but you have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now, the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers, as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan. But to the other half, Joshua gave a possession among their brothers, westward toward the Jordan. So when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and said to them, "Return to your tents with great riches and very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, with many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers." And the sons of Reuben, and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home, and they departed from the sons of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession which they had possessed, according to the command of the Lord through Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard it, and they said, "Behold, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan, on the side belonging to the sons of Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. Then the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben, and to the sons of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one chief for each father's household, from each of the tribes of Israel. And each one of them was the head of his father's household among the thousands of Israel. And they came to the sons of Reuben, and to the sons of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the Lord God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord this day? Is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And will it come about, if you roll a bell against the Lord today, that he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow? If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, which the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, act unfaithfully in the things under the ban? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity? Then the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered, and they spoke to the heads of the families of Israel. The Mighty One, God the Lord, the Mighty One, God the Lord, he knows, and may Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion, or if an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not thou now save us this day? If we have built us an altar to turn away from following the Lord, excuse me, or if to offer a burnt offering or grain offering on it, or if to offer sacrifices of peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself require it. But truly, we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in the time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord made the Jordan a border between us and you. You sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, you have no portion in the Lord. So your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offerings or for sacrifice. Rather, it shall be a witness between us and you and between our generations after us, that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your sons may not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion to the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall also come about that if they say this to us, or to our generations in time to come, then we'll say, see, the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, rather, it's a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day by building an altar for burnt offering, for grain offering, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So, when Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the congregation, even the heads of the families of Israel, who were with him, heard the words which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the son of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Manasseh, today we know the Lord is in our midst, because you have not committed the unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders, returned from the sons of Reuben and from the sons of Gad, from the land of Gilead, to the land of Canaan, to the sons of Israel, and brought word back to them. And the word pleased the sons of Israel. And the sons of Israel blessed God, and they did not speak of going up against them in war, to destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. And the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness, for they said, "It is a witness between us that the Lord is God." Okay, well, I hope you don't get lost in the story. I want to try to put the pieces together, you might say. First, I think the most important thing is there is a primary theme that's running throughout this particular chapter. And that theme, I believe, is found right here in verse 5. Let me just read it for you. Here's what the Lord is trying to get through to them through Joshua. "Only be careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And what is it? To love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So that's the bottom line. That's what I want you to take away with, and we're going to look at that in more detail. But really, to fully get that, we need to see the context in which that specific statement is made. I think if we get the context, it's going to make it much more real. But there's a lot of background I think we need to go in that's kind of either referred to here or specifically stated. So what we need to know is basically four clear points in background. Number one, God told the Israelites, go in to the promised land, defeat your enemies, and then begin to possess the land, settle down in it. So keep your finger right there in Joshua 22, but I'd like you to turn with me because we're going to read a good chunk of this. Go back a couple books to the book of Numbers. Excuse me. The book of Numbers. And I'd like you to turn to chapter 32 because it's going to set the stage here for what's happening in Joshua 22. So back to Numbers chapter 32 and 1-5. So God told Moses, tell the people, go into the promised land. But the Reubenites and the Gadites have an idea and they want to present that to Moses. So here it is, Numbers 32. "Now the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad had an exceedingly large number of livestock. So when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, and that it was indeed a place suitable for livestock, the sons of Gad, the sons of Reuben came and they spoke to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Artoth, Dimon, Jazar, Nimrah, Hashbon, Elisha, Eshlim, Nebo, and Beon, the land which the Lord conquered before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us across the Jordan." So basically, Israel, here's the Jordan River right in the middle. Israel is basically on the right side of that Jordan River, on the east. And God said, I want Israel to go over the Jordan and conquer the promised land, which is on the west. Okay, Jordan in the middle. Israel's coming in from the east to go across the Jordan into the west. But these tribes, Gilead Reuben and Gad basically say, okay, we get it. But we'd like to camp on the east side. And that kind of causes a stir because the people say, well, no, we all have to go over and fight this battle. So look at verse 6 here on Numbers 32. But Moses said to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you yourself sit here? Now, why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over into the land which the Lord has given them? So he's basically saying, this is not good. You guys need to come over and fight. You can't just stay here and have a nice little party on the east side of the Jordan. You need to be with us. Well, then, basically, we come back to the Gadites and also to the Reubenites. And here's what they say, verse 16. They came near to Moses and said, we will build here sheepfolds for our livestock, cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the sons of Israel until we have brought them to their place, while our little ones live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the sons of Israel has possessed his inheritance. That's their proposition. Moses makes a response back to them, 20. So Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you'll arm yourselves before the Lord, for the Lord, for the war, and all of your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven his enemies out from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be free of the obligation toward the Lord and toward Israel. And this land shall be yours for possession before the Lord. So, okay, so that's the deal. Again, they're to go in, possess the land. Reuben and the Gadites say, hey, we'd like to camp on the east side. Moses says, that's not going to work because you can't stay here while the rest of the people are fighting the battles on the west side. And basically, the Gadites say, hey, we like this land, but don't worry, don't get upset. We will go, we'll fight with you over on the west side. And when the west side is subdued, then we'll come back to the east side where we'd like to go. Moses says, that's cool. If that's what you're going to do, I'm okay with that. Okay, so that's one piece of the background. So, second piece, now we're back to Joshua again. Let's go back to Joshua 22. So, that's the background, but these tribes on the east side of the Jordan do something. If you look at verse 10, excuse me. Verse 10, and when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. So, okay, they build this altar on the east side, and this causes an uproar in Israel. That's the third point. They begin to be wound up and they're really, really upset. And they begin to confront these two tribes. Look at over here at 12. When the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go up against them in war. They're upset. They send representatives from each of the tribes to go over and address this situation they think is a very, very, very dangerous situation. So here's what they say to these tribes, verse 16. Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord? And basically, what they're saying in verse 18 is this, and that you turn away this day from following the Lord. And it'll come about if you rebel against the Lord today that he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. And let me give you one more verse, 19. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possessions of the Lord, which the Lord's tabernacle stands. And then he goes on, only do not rebel against the Lord, or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord. So here's what they're upset. They're concerned that these tribes, the Gadites, Reubenites, and half tribe of Manasseh, that they built an altar on this east side. And they're saying, this is not good. This is not good at all. You're disobeying God. There's only one altar. There's only one, and that's on the west side where the tabernacle is. And they're saying, you're committing idolatry. This is not good. This is dangerous. And he said, don't you guys realize? And they gave two illustrations about Peor. And Peor, what happened, the Israelites began to worship foreign gods. And they basically were led astray from the Lord. And God brought judgment on them. Not only did he bring judgment, but he sent a plague. And they're waving this flag to the people on the east saying, don't build this altar. No, 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 don't do it. And they said, remember what happened to Peor. And then also they give the statement about Achan. We looked about him a couple weeks ago, where Achan again did what he was not supposed to do. And God brought judgment there. So again, Israel on the west side is saying, what are you doing? Why are you building this altar? There's only one altar. This is wrong, 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 wrong. And by the way, because you're doing this, God's going to judge you. But not only is he going to judge you, you know, Israel's one. So if you mess up on the right side, guess what? We're going to get judgment on the left side. And that's not good. And we don't want that judgment. So you better get your act together. So they're hot and they're confronting these tribes on the right side. But guess what? The tribes on the right side begin to explain their case. Look at verse 24. So here's why they built this altar. And they try to explain. 24, but truly we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us, and you, your sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, you have no portion to the Lord. So your sons may make our sons stop fearing the God. Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice. In other words, they're saying, no, this altar, we're not doing this. That's only going to happen on the west side, the way it should be. We're not building this altar to go away from God. No, no, no. There's a reason we're building it, not to be disrespectful or rebellious. Verse 27, rather, it shall be a witness between us and you, between our generations after us, that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him, with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices, our peace offerings, that your sons may not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion with us in the land. Therefore, it shall also come about, if they say this to us or to the generation to come, then we'll say, see, the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering, or for sacrifice, rather it's a witness between us. So, bottom line, they're saying, no, 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 we're not disobeying. We're not gonna sacrifice. It's just something, it's a witness, because the people on the west may someday say, well, these guys on the east, they have no part. They're not really connected to us. And they're saying, no, we built this altar as a copy, as a witness that we're for you. It's not in rebellion. We're not going to sacrifice here. It's just to protect our people someday, that your people on the west don't say, hey, these guys are not really genuine Israelites. And as that explanation unfolds, Moses says, aha, now we know what you're doing. Now we know your motivation. We know that you're not trying to be rebellious and do things that are wrong. And he ends up here on 33. And the word pleased the sons of Israel, and the sons of Israel blessed God, and they did not speak of going up against them in war to destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. Okay. Wow. So that's a lot of background. Hope you didn't get too lost there, but I wanted you to get the understanding of where this whole verse fits in. So the fact I want to really drive home today is not so much all that background. I want us to hit hard this specific verse, Joshua 22, and it's at verse 5. Again, let me read it. God is saying through Joshua to Israel, and specifically here to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. But really, what Joshua is saying holds not just for the tribes in the east, it also holds for the tribes of the west. And here is what he's saying. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. What is the commandment? To love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So I want you to see very, very importantly that statement in 5 as it begins. Only be what? Very careful. Hear that? Moses says, be very, very careful to observe the commandment and the law of Moses. Be very, very, very careful. I want to give you a verse. You don't have to look this one up, but you might want to jot it down. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46 and verse 47. Really important words. Listen carefully to this. Here's what Moses says to the Israelites. Take to your heart all the words which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of the law. Again, same word, carefully. Now notice what he says. For it is not an idle word to you. He's saying, this is not something that you just take lightly and brush off. He says, it's not an idle word. This is important, Israelites. I just hear Moses saying, like, open your ears wide. Listen, 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 listen. And that's a theme many times God says in the Old Testament and New. Open your ears. Please listen carefully. Pay attention to what I'm saying. He says, listen carefully, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. Moses is saying, man, listen carefully and do what God tells you. It's your life. If you do this, you're going to have life. You're going to have fullness. You're going to have satisfaction. But if you blow off my word, if you don't take me seriously, if you disobey my word, you're going to have the opposite of life, which is you're going to be miserable. You'll experience a curse. And you wonder why out there in society so many people are miserable. Why? Because they've blown off the word of God. They don't take God's word seriously. They're not careful to do it. So again, Moses says, for it's not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And he goes on, and by this word you shall prolong your days in the land, which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess it. So again, Moses is very clear. It's not an idle word. God gave us this scripture. God gave us the scriptures as a roadmap to be able to have a full and abundant life. God says, I'm a loving God, I'm a holy God, but if you're going to interrelate with me, if we're going to build a relationship, if we're going to be tight, if we're going to be close and then be intimate, you got to cooperate with me. You've got to keep my commandments because I'm a holy God. And I just can't blow off disobedience. And God said, I've shown you a PR. I've shown you what they can. Like, don't mess with it. Be careful to do what I ask you to do. It's not an idle word. So then he says, okay, so then what is this word that the Israelites are to hear? And folks, by the way, it's not just for the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half tribe of Manasseh on the east side of the Jordan. It's not for Israel on the west side. This word is not only for them back there, the word is for us today, right here, for you and I in 2025. So, what is the word? Well, it says to love the Lord your God. To love the Lord your God. And then how do you love the Lord your God? Well, he says, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast to him, meaning don't stray away, stay tight with him. And he says, then serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So here's the important thing to me. You know, not all that background, that was nice. Excuse me. That really is important. But here is the point to hone in on. This is the takeaway. The Lord says, keep my commandments. They're not an idle word. They give you life. They give you satisfaction. They give you joy. And then Moses said, here's the deal. Here is the deal. What is the primary thing I'm asking you? Love me. And God says, well, how do you love me? You know, and I think the Lord said, love is not just this nice, sentimental, warm little feeling I have in my heart. Moses said, no. Real love is an action word. And the action word is basically obedience. And if you notice very clearly in Joshua 22, he said again in verse 5, love the Lord your God and walk. Now get this, in all his ways. Circle the word all. Walk in all his ways, keep his commandments. Hold fast to him, serve him with, here again is the word, all, right? All your heart, and with what? All your soul. All. So, I think we have to stop right there. I've got to ask myself, I got to ask you this question. Is that true in our lives? Is Jesus our number one? Is he always our number one priority in life? Let that sink in just a moment. Number one. Is Jesus your first priority? Is he my first priority? Is he more important than any other person on the planet? Is he more important than any other thing on this planet? Is he indeed number one? We're told in the Bible that God loves us totally. God the Father gave up his son. I mean, talk about total love. He gave up the dearest thing to his heart and sent his son on a mission to put our broken lives back together again. God gave his all. He gave his best. He gave his son. Jesus gave up all of his life. Think of it. The infinite second person of the Trinity who had free reign of the universe is now encapsulated in a womb of a woman. And he takes on human flesh. He's limited. Never had that experience before. And not only did he limit himself, he took the scorn and the hatred of mankind on himself. He allowed himself literally to be nailed on a cross and experience an undeniably cruel death, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and spiritually. God gave everything. The Holy Spirit gives. All three are givers. They gave everything. And God said, I've given my all. Wouldn't you respond? Won't you come and give me your all? So I just say, we need to hear this. We need to hear this. He said, keep all my ways. And he said, love me, serve me with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So again, here's the takeaway. Where are we at? Have we really surrendered our life to Jesus? How much? Many times people surrender, I'll give God this much. And oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll give him a little bit more. But where do we get to the point where we said, Lord, I'm sold out. I am sold out to you. You have every right to every part of my being. And Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. I may not want to do it. I may be fearful to do it. But Lord, if I know that you've spoken, I will obey you no matter what. And there's the challenge, I think, to each of us to be able to know, will we love him? So real love, here's the deal. Real love is shown not necessarily by the fact that we pick up a Bible, that we pray, that we go to church, that we're a Dream Team member. Real love is not necessarily those things. They're great, but real love, according to Jesus, is, hey, much more important than all that stuff is, will you obey me? Will you keep my word when I speak, whether it's in the Bible or whether it's you're going through life and I say something deep in your spirit, will you do what I ask you to do? And so this idea of awe is not just in the Old Testament. Just want you to see that Jesus said, hey, guess what? What's back there is exactly what we have in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, I'm going to read it real quick, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And here's the command way back. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And by the way, here's the deal. Jesus quotes that in the New Testament. So we can't say, well, that's just that. That's back there for those guys in the old. No, Jesus says, hey, let me make it clear in the new as well. This is Matthew 22 and verse, let's see, 37. Well, actually, let me just back up one. Somebody comes to Jesus, they say, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? This guy said, okay, there's tons of laws. Big laws, hundreds of laws. I said, but Jesus, center in. Jesus, what's the biggie? What is God really, really want? And listen to what Jesus says. And he said to that man, you shall love the Lord your God with, here it is, all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. So Jesus says, you want to sum up the whole Bible? Here's the deal. Love God with everything in you. Everything. And then he says, he adds one other thing that we don't see. And he said, a second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. God says you want to know the Old Testament in detail. In a nutshell, here it is. Love God with everything in you and love your neighbor. And if you do that, you've done all that I ask you to do. But as we're beginning to wrap up, we need to see that not only does Jesus say that in Matthew, in John, he's very, very clear about what real love looks like for God. Let me give you a couple of these scriptures. Look at this is John 14, 15. Listen to Jesus. This is, let's see, one, two, three, four times he says this in chapter 14. He says, if you love me, this is John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Isn't that interesting? He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So I hear the Lord saying clearly, we only, he said, love me with all your heart, mind's all right. But then Jesus spells it out. He says, what's real love look like? He says, you love me to the degree you're willing to obey me. That's the biggie. That is the biggie, I believe, for us today. Jesus said, anybody can say that they love me. There was a fellow that came to him and said, Lord, 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 Lord. And Jesus says, baloney, you're just saying it with your mouth. You're not living it. So the Lord is very, very, very clear. He said, if you love me, if you really love me, you're going to obey me. Big deal. And why do we obey him? This is so important. We obey him not because we have to. Not because God's up there with a big whip, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to send a lightning bolt. No. Why do we obey God? Because we love him. We see all that he's done for us. We see the love of the Father. We see the love of the Son. We see the love of the Holy Spirit. When we see their love, we fall back in love with them. And if you really love somebody, guess what? You're going to want to please them. And if you're going to want to please them, you're going to kind of, not kind of, you're going to want to do what they would ask you to do. So, so important. So, so, so. We talked about obedience up, down, in and out with the Old Testament. And the question, I guess, for any of us, for me or you, is like, how many times do I got to hear this message to do it? Or we just let it go in one ear and go out the other. Jesus is clear. Real love shows itself in obedience. And I close with this. There are major, major benefits of that. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus said, if anybody loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So Jesus said, if you really obey me, you'll be a Christian, and guess what? I'm going to actually live on the inside of you. And if that doesn't blow our minds, I don't know what does. The eternal God who reigns all over the entire universe said, I'm going to actually take up residence deep inside you. That's a mind blower. And the last other benefit is, again, in John 14, 23. If anybody loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And then notice what he says here in verse 21. Not only is he in us, it says 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. So Jesus said, if you love me, be obedient. And he said, if you really, really, really obey me out of love, he said, I'll disclose myself to you. And one last scripture, John 16 and verse 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. In other words, what he's saying is, as we're obedient, and the more we seek to be obedient in even the details, God says, wow, I see your heart and I see your commitment. And because you're sold out, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up in a very tangible, real way. And I won't just be some shadowy figure in the background somewhere in the Old Testament. I'll be alive to you. I'll be real to you. And you'll experience me in deep and intimate ways. And he says, the Holy Spirit is going to show you that if I'm in you, you've got everything you need. And I think this is a journey as we keep being obedient. The Holy Spirit says, let me show you more, Jesus. And he pulls out the veil and he says, let me show you. He's your peace. And the Holy Spirit pulls the veil and he says, he's your joy. He's your hope. He's your health. He's your guide. He's your whatever it is, your satisfaction, whatever you need, it's all found in Jesus. But it all hinges on this obedience factor. So, you know, that's where I leave it. And that's between the Lord and you and I individually. Like, Lord, do I love you enough to do whatever you ask me to do? And the Lord says, you know, if you do that, it'll be life to you. I'll make myself real to you, and I'll make myself real through you. So let's pray. Father, I'm in a lot of background stuff here, Lord. I pray that, you know, as we did the opening part about these two tribes and, you know, what side, east side, west side of the Jordan. Lord, I think sometimes we can get lost in some of these little details. But Lord, there's a main point. You're shouting it. You're shouting it in this chapter. That obedience is so important. It allows you to become very real to us. And I believe, Lord, you made it very clear in your word, we obey not because we're trying to please some God up there that's ticked off at us if we don't just follow every little commandment. But Lord, that we obey because we love you, because we've seen your love. And because you love us so much, why wouldn't we want to do what you ask us to do? So, Lord, I just pray, be with each of us. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would take these words and that we could ponder them, we could meditate upon them, and, Lord, that we can apply them so that we can experience all that you want us to have and experience that abundant life you died for. So, Father, we thank you and we pray it, Jesus, in your strong name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a great day.